Gracious Father, we're such a privileged people, Lord, to have this opportunity to come here to assemble in thy name. Lord, we believe, Father, that we're getting very close to the resurrection. It could be this spring. We don't know, but Father, we're looking forward to it. Whenever you would gather together your saints, from those that have slept in the dust and those which are living, and come together for that great resurrection ministry, O God, what a time this is going to be. We're looking forward to it, Father, and so we ask you to help us. Help us, Lord, to get ourselves ready. Help us, Lord, root out any bitterness or any things in our heart, Lord, that are not worthy of being called Christian. Help us, Father, as we study thy word this morning, and we ask you, Lord, that you would help us to recognize that your presence is here, your pillar of fire is in our midst. You said your pillar of fire would lead us to the millennium. And so, Lord, we're believing that you're here. We're standing in the presence of the judge. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, last week we left off reading at paragraph 146 of Brother Branham's sermon, The Unveiling of God. And this morning I would like to begin by reading from it again. Brother Branham, he says, "And as a Christian," and remember, Christian means to be Christ-like, right? "And as a Christian, I am identified with him." Amen. "I was with Noah when he went into the ark. I was with Moses when he came out of Egypt." Amen. "I was with Elijah on Mount Carmel." Yes, sir. Glory to God. "I was with him when he did that. I was truly with him. I identified myself in his death. And there on Calvary, when I died to the things of the world, to myself and all tradition." So, to identify yourself with his death, he says, you must die to yourself and all traditions. "I was identified with him. I was identified with him on Easter morning when he rose from the dead. I was identified with him on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost came down like a rushing mighty wind. I was identified with him. All that he was, I am. All that I am, he was." Amen. "Being dead in him, we are identified with him. What he is, I am." Now, little Ella wishes to be baptized this morning, and so after service we're going to have a baptismal. And I had a chance to take her to the lake, and her daddy had a chance to sit down with her, and we had her read from Acts 2:38, and she understands what it means to repent. It means to change your ways, to change your thinking, and she understands what remission of sins is, and so she wishes to take that step. And Paul is saying here that "I was identified with him. All that he was, I am. All that I am, he was. And being dead in him." In other words, I've got to die to myself. And so I've told Ella, and her daddy told her, "You have to die to Ella. You have to want God's life to live your life more than you want your own life to live your life." And so, "What he is, I am," Brother Branham continues now. Now, I want you to notice his choice of words here. First, he says, "As a Christian." As a Christian, as a person who is Christ-like, I'm identified with him. Why? Because to be Christian means to be Christ-like. In other words, I'm not identified with a church. I'm not identified with a particular doctrine. I'm not identified with a particular ministry or minister. I'm identified in his death. I'm identified with him. I've identified myself in his death. And how can that be? Because in order to become identified with him, we must be willing to die to self first. That's exactly what Jesus did. He said, "Father, you know, my will is that you take the cup from me, but nevertheless not my will, but thy will be done." In other words, I'm dying to myself so that I can die for my brothers, because I know you'll raise me up. And so, because in order to become identified with him, we must be willing to die to self first, just as Jesus himself had to die to himself in order for God to raise him up. Brother Brown said, in Gethsemane, he said, Jesus tried to dodge the cross. Now, he didn't try too hard, but he did say, "Father, my will is that you take this cup from me. Is there any other way?" He said, "But nevertheless, Father, not my will, but thy will be done." Now, Colossians 3:3 tells us, "For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And of course, when you are dead, you are buried. And burial is the final act of manifestation of death." In other words, when a person dies, the final manifestation that they're dead is you put them in the ground. They're buried, right? We're not pagans who cremate our loved ones when they die. Christians and Jews bury their dead. That is God's provided way. Burning the ashes is a sign of judgment. And when we bury the dead, it is like when we plant a seed into the ground. We expect that life that we buried to come up again in newness of life. And that is exactly what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 6. So, you understand this. When a person dies and we bury, Christian burial, we don't put them in the grave and say, "That's it. We're done." No. We're expecting that person to come back from the dead. one day in the resurrection. You see? That's what burial is all about. You plant the seed in the ground, you don't, and then you walk away because you're expecting the crop to grow. You don't go out and dig it up every day. Well, is it going to be seed yet? You just start the process all over. You just bury it, and then you leave it to the process of God, the resurrection process of God.
Right.
Romans 6 and 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, but that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So our burial is a sign that we want to walk in newness of life. All right? And we also have the promise that if we have the same Spirit of God living in us, that it will do in us the same as it did in the original seed, which is Jesus. Romans 8 and 11, Paul tells us, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, that's God, dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, his Spirit lived in Jesus first, and he raised him from the dead. And as he did with the eldest son, he's got to do with every son, because he's not a respecter of persons. That is what Paul says in Romans 8 and 10. And if Christ, the anointing of God, be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of right wiseness. And when we're buried with him, we are raised with him as well. That means we have become identified not only with his death, and we've died to self, but we are also identified with the life wherein he was also raised up. Romans 6 and 4 again. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we shall also walk in newness of life. And there's your key right there to baptism. It's the newness of life because it's repentance. Repent first and then newness of life. Alright. All right. Repent first, then you're showing the world, when you're buried in the water, you're showing the world that you've died to yourself. Now, I'm sorry. Put that up. For you on the board. Okay. Again, Paul says in his letter to the Colossians 2 and 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, the energy of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Now, getting back to Brother Adam's sermon, the unveiling of God, after mentioning, he says, I identified myself in his death. He then goes on to say, I was identified with him on Easter morning when he rose from the dead. All that he was, I am. All that I am, he was. Amen. Being dead in him, we are identified with him. What he is, I am. Now, paragraph 447. What this nation is, I am. I'm proud to be that. I'm ready to bear her shame. I'm ready to bear a reproach to be an American. That's right. But I'm double that to Jesus Christ. All that he ever was, I like to be identified with him. Them apostles, when they come back, they thought they was made fun of and called everything else. They thought it was a great honor to bear the reproach of his name. I'm happy today to be one of them, being identified with the Word, which is Christ, identified with him, being baptized into him. We become identified in his likeness, identified with his Word, which is him. If I am in Christ, I am his Word. You catch that? If I am in Christ, I am his Word. For he is the Word, and I am, and what he is, I am. Amen. You get it. All right. Speaking of Christ, Brother Ram is telling us all that he ever was, I am. I'd like to be identified with him. Now, this word identified that he used here actually means to be or become the same. To make or represent to be or regard as or to treat as the same or identical to. Now, since the dictionary definition to be identified means to become identical to, since he is the original seed, and we are therefore offspring of that seed, that is exactly what Brother Brown taught us in the spoken word is the original seed. Now, from his sermon, the spoken word original seed, Brother Brown said, the words that Jesus did, now he's referring to John 14, 12 here. So listen carefully, and he'll tell you why Jesus made this statement of John 14, 12. You see, people, he just made that, and that's only for one person or whatever. No, Brother Brown tells us here why Jesus makes that statement. If a man had the seed of God in him, with the Spirit of God watering that seed, the same works that Jesus was manifested in Jesus, him being the original seed of God, his death brings you back to the original seed of God, and if the same Spirit that was in him is in you, now remember, we just read Romans 8, where Paul said God will quicken your body by that same Spirit that raised up Jesus. Okay, Brother Brown continues, then the same works will be manifest. So if the same Spirit that was in Christ is in you, the same works will manifest. That's you. It's not just one person. Okay? He says, you don't believe that? All right, let's turn to John 14, 12. You say, I'm a believer, Brother Bram. I sure am a believer. All right, I'm going to see if Jesus would call you one. See if the Word of God calls you one. Verily, verily, absolutely, absolutely, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. That's proving whether you're a believer or not. So what is it? Notice, he just read John 14, 12. So when he says, what is it? He's referring to John 14, 12. So what is John 14, 12? He says, and he gives you the answer. Same seed. There you go. Two words. Same seed. John 14, 12, same seed. Can you all say that? John 14, 12, same seed. That's it. Can't keep. How can you plant wheat here and wheat here and say I'm going to get cucumbers here and wheat over here? You can't do it. The only way you're going to get cucumbers is to plant cucumbers. And if you hybrid it, then it won't be a cucumber. It'll be a hypocrite. Is that right? It'll be a hypocrite, friends. See? Now you've got to say it. It isn't neither one. It isn't a cucumber or what you bred it with. It's a crossbreed, and it's a bad product, and it's dead in itself, and it can't breed itself back no more. It's dead right there. Back, it won't go any further. That finished it all. That's all. But if you want a cucumber, start with a cucumber. If you want a church, start with the Word of God. If you want a life of God, start with the Word of God. Accept the Word of God in its fullness, every measure of it. And then, if that is the fullness of God in you, what's that? Right here, fullness of God. In you, then the rain that's falling, the Holy Ghost falling, will produce exactly what's in your garden. Do you have this in your soul? The Holy Spirit's going to produce this. That's John 14, 12. That's everything that He is, we are. Hallelujah. Oh, I love this. See? Then the works will be manifested in him are the same, for it is the same seed word of God. God's Son was his example seed. And what his life was when the Spirit poured out upon him after his baptism and the Holy Ghost come upon him, the very life that he produced, that same water, Holy Spirit of the Holy Ghost will bring forth the same kind of life, doing the same things that he did, if it's the same seed. Son of God's seed will bring forth Son of God's seed. The spoken word is original seed. That's what it's all about. It's all about John 14, 12. It's all about if the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it's going to produce the same things in you that it did in him. It has to, or it's a different seed. Hallelujah. That's just so simple. Now, shaming you women with bob hair, shaming you preachers denying this truth, I say, well, that it's all right. Hair has nothing to do with it, but God said it did. See where we're at? See? That's why I believe the word, it's a seed. And if the rain falls upon the seed, it'll bring forth of its kind. He's quoting Genesis 1:11. Every seed after its kind. That's the law of life. That's the law of reproduction. Now, what's the matter with these revivals? What do we do? Oh, just make a million more in 44. Baptists, Presbyterians, whatever more, Pentecostals. But where is the manifestation of the works of Jesus Christ? You see, I believe he's saying here, you don't have a revival unless there's life evident. Because revive means to make alive, right? And if there's no manifestation of that life evident, there is no revival. It's just a bunch of words. Or a bunch of people. More people. Yeah, we got a revival. You know, a million more in 44. What did it produce? A million more what? See? I do nothing till the Father show me first. Where is that kind of seed coming from? The Holy Spirit will water and bring forth that seed. It's the water to the seed. If the seed's been planted, that's exactly what the water is for. Now, now that we've identified what Brother Branham was driving at in these last few paragraphs, where he was talking about a Christian is identified with Christ, the very life of Christ, I want to look at this God's life that was in Christ Jesus and raised him up from the grave. In Genesis 1:1 we read, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, remember God is life, the Spirit of God began to move upon the face of the waters, and God spoke, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, notice that the first time God spoke, Genesis 1:3, he brings forth the Son of God as a light. Here we see God imparting his own life into his Son and bringing him forth in his own image, light. Logos, light. Word, light. All right. This is what John tells us in John 5:26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself. And that Apostle Paul tells us the same thing in Hebrews 1:1-4. God, who hath sundry times and diverse manners, making time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in the Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Well, what was that person? It was light. The light being. God wrapped himself in the garment of light, the Bible tells us. The pillar of fire. Every time the pillar of fire showed itself, we knew God's presence was there because he identifies himself with that light. All right. Who being the brightness, the light of his God's glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now, what is the image of God that came forth in Genesis 1? The Bible tells us God is light, as we see in John 1 and 5, that this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and then we walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he, God, is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, we're looking at, because Brother Ransom said, I am all that he is, I am. Right? All right, what would that be? Well, that same pillar of fire that was over Israel is the same pillar of fire that came down in the form of a dove and entered into the Son of God. Right? It's the same pillar of fire. It's the same light from God that lights up everyone who is a child of light. Amen? In other words, when the Holy Ghost comes into you, it's light. I'm going to prove that to you. So we see that God is light, and in fact, in other scriptures, it actually says God clothed himself with light as with a garment. In Psalm 104:1, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the water, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundation of the earth that it should not be removed forever. Notice, who covers thyself with light. When we see that pillar of fire picture, now the pillar of fire is not God, but the pillar of fire is the Shekinah presence. It shows, it's what God wraps himself in, that light. Now, we know the pillar of fire is where God resides. He is clothed with light. That is the same light God associates with his presence. Because after all, God is invisible, but his Shekinah light, or Shekinah glory, is that light that he is clothed in. When Moses first saw him, it was in the light of that pillar of fire, in the bush that appeared to be on fire. When Paul saw him, it was that same pillar of fire that met him on his road to Damascus. And when God entered into Jesus, his firstborn son, he came in as that pillar of fire, so God is light. John 1:32, and John bear record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. Now, we would see Jesus, Brother Branson, now look, when he was here on earth, how many knows that was the pillar of fire that followed the children of Israel in the wilderness, that it was Christ, the angel of the covenant, all right? How many knows that was Jesus, in Jesus, that same Spirit? Look, when they questioned him, St. John 6, calling your attention to it, they said, you say that you're greater than Abraham. And said that, why, you're only 50 years old. Or you're only 50 years old. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Now, I am was in the burning bush. Is that right? A pillar of fire. When he was here on earth, he said, I came from God and I go to God. Did he say it? And then he came from the pillar of fire. He returned back to it again. After his death, burial, and resurrection, St. Paul was on the road down to Damascus, and a big bright light struck in his face and blinded him. None of the rest of them saw it. Paul saw it. It blinded him. He fell on the ground. What is this pillar of fire again? Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus. Is that right? All right. In Psalm 44:3, we read, "For by their own sword they did not possess the land, and their own arm did not save them. But your right hand and your arm and the light of your presence, for you favored them." Again, the light associated with his presence. Now here we see the scripture speak of light as the light of God's presence. Now sometimes we see this pillar of fire actually show up as a rainbow, as we saw in Congo DRC, and as we read in Ezekiel 1:27. He says, "I saw that from what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like glowing metal, as if full of fire, and that from there down he looked like fire, and a brilliant light surrounded him, like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds of the rainy day. So was the radiance around him." Where do you think the idea of Joseph's coat of many colors came from? God wraps himself in the rainbow. God wraps himself in light. All right. What is a rainbow anyway? It's light. It's the light that refracts off of the particles of mist in the air, and there's a different frequency. And as you go from the top to the bottom, you have different colors. Each is a different frequency, just like in different colors of light. There's a different frequency, and each frequency is a different promise of God. As an example, if you need healing for a certain virus, you turn the frequency generator to that virus's frequency and you kill it. All right? So, anyway, everything lives in a frequency. Now, he says, "This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell down on my face, and I heard the voice of one that spake." So he sees the rainbow. He says, "This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell down, face down, and I heard the voice of one speaking." And remember, those seven colors are seven lights. And each has a separate frequency, thus giving off seven colors. And as I showed you in my study in the rainbows years ago, each color represents a different promise of God. So each color is a different portion of his contract or covenant with us. It's like a big barcode. Right? You know, red is love. And, blue is trueness. Green is everlasting, life. The evergreen tree is always living, always showing. Except, the gold is judgment, deity, etc. Now, Ezekiel 8:2. "Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire, from the appearance of his loins even downward, fire, and from his loins even upward, as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber." Again, Psalm 15:2. "Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined." All right. So all these scriptures showing God identifies himself, he's wrapped in light, that God is light. Hosea 6:5. "Therefore have I hewed them up by the prophets, I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth." Now we see scripture showing us that not only is God light, but his words are light, his judgments are light. His doxa, his opinions, his values, his judgments, it's light. See, that's why we say we're illuminated by the Word of God. All right. Isaiah 51:4. What does it mean to be illuminated? It means I've gone from darkness to being able to see. Isaiah 51:4. "Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nations, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgments to rest for a light of the people." Notice, my judgments shall be a rest for the light of my people. So the judgments become light. Jesus, who is the light, came for a light, as seen in Luke 1:27. "And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms and blessed him, and said, O Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him," which was Simeon. All right? "A light to lighten the Gentiles." Ezekiel 10:4. "Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub to the threshold of the temple, and the temple was filled with a cloud, and the court was filled with the brightness of the glory of the Lord. And from Habakkuk 3 and 4, and his brightness was as the light. Again, all these scriptures, there's many, many more. We don't have time to go into them, but just to give you illustrations. Not only is God light, but his word is light. All right? So, because his word is logos. All right? Now, in the message, man that can turn on the light, Brother answered, there's nothing can give you life but the spoken word of God. It's the only way that life can come is through the spoken word. That is why when people, when God spoke, there was light. Okay? Light is light. Now, this is what I'm trying. I'm actually going way around the bush here to try to get one point in this toward the end. And I'm not going to tell you what it is yet, but I'm trying to establish in your heart, God is light. All right? If God is light, then when he entered his son, a light had to enter his son. Then when he enters sons, a light has to enter sons. All right? Now, that light is not just light, it's life. Well, if it's life, then isn't it healing? Right? Doesn't light bring healing? Now listen. Therefore, the first time God speaks... Oh, let me go back. Now, in verse 3, we read, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, that it was good. And remember, God separated the light from everything else, from darkness, from impurity. All right? God saw the light that it was good, and God called the light day. We're going to get to this later on in the study. Therefore, the first time God speaks, we see his word bringing forth the light. This time, this light may not be the sun. It wasn't the sun, S-U-N, because we see the S-U-N spoken of in verses 14 through 19. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament in the heavens to divide the days and the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let there be for a light of the firmament in the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament in the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. So on the fourth day, God created the sun, the moon, the stars, and everything else. The first day, God created his son. That light that went out from God, the very first time God spoke, was the logos of God. I'm going to show you this. Okay? Now, I believe based on what Brother Ram said, this light that came out from God is the Son of God. As we see in his sermon, Attitude and Who is God, he said, I can see him speak to this world hanging there as an icicle, whatever it was, way. And he moved it over there. And I can see this little light go out. Now we got two now. The Father. And out of the Father came the light, the Son. So, the first time God spoke, we see the Son of God birth. All right? Although Brother Branham was never very clear on this specific scripture, we know that the light that went forth from God was the Logos, or a part of God, which is the Son of God in spirit form, pre-incarnate. We also find, and I don't know if I have it in my notes or not, I might have taken it out last night just to save space time, but Proverbs 8, read it, 1 through 22. He says, I was with you when you created the worlds. I was there when you formed this and you formed that. He's talking about the Son of God. He says, I was there. It was there that you gave me birth. All right, from the message, question and answer on Genesis, Brother Branham said, out of God came the Logos, which was the Son of God. Now, from his sermon, Life, he said, the great fountain of all eternity, that was spirit of love, joy, that spirit of honesty, that spirit of trueness, in this perfection, and when out of the existence of the Father went the Logos, which was the Son, which was the Theophany, which was the body of the great Jehovah God, went forth in a celestial body. That's the Logos. The Word spoke out of them great fountains of life and went forth. And there was that the Theophany, which was God made into Word, then that Theophany was made flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. Now what he's saying there is basically, God who is the great, as they call him in the Ten Commandments movie, the great eternal mind. And out of that great eternal mind, God wanted fellowship, he wanted sons. So he spoke, and as he spoke, that Word took on a shape. It took on a logos. It took on a visible theophonic body called the Son of God. Now, if the Son of God is the logos which came forth from God, then God himself had to be logos as well. You see, this is where we get messed up in our thinking. We think, you know, okay, well, if Jesus is the logos, and you know, and we get to God is logos. His sons are logos. And that Logos is Word, and that Logos has the appearance of light. All right? Every seed must bring forth after its kind, and if the spoken word is the original seed, that is the word seed, then if it produced Logos, it can only be because he is Logos. God is Logos. And that's why John, in St. John said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God because the Word was God. Alright, so God is the Word. And then if Jesus is born, Jesus then has to be Word. And we see that he is Word expressed. He is Word manifest. Alright, now Brother Brown said in his sermon, what does it take to be a Christian? Now, I want you to notice, in the beginning, when God our Father looked over this bleak earth, and it wasn't nothing but one great ball of water, and God sent the Holy Spirit to the earth, the Logos went out of God, and it began to brood over the earth. So that Logos, which was the Son, came out in the form of Logos, in the form of light, and it brooded over the earth. From Questions and Answers, 1964, August 23rd. Now that pillar fire is the Logos that went out of God, the Logos, which is actually the attribute of the fullness of God. When God became into a form to where it could be seen, it was the anointing of the great Spirit that went forth. It's condescending, coming down, God the Father, the Logos, that was up over Israel. He was holy, could not bear sin. There had to be a blood offering right in Eden. Then that Logos became flesh and dwelt among us. And where this Logos dwelt in a human body, which was a sacrifice when man was made in his image of God. And then God came down in the image of man to redeem man. That brought man and God together. Heavens and earth hugged and kissed each other. God and man embraced each other as fatherhood and sonship. When the Logos became flesh and dwelt among us, Jesus said, I came from God and I go to God. Is that right? After his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, when the body was taken up to sit at the right hand of God. Now, I don't mean that God's got a big right hand. God's a spirit. But at the right hand means in power and authority of God. That in that name, everything in heaven is named after it and subject to it. Everything on earth is named after it and subject to it. A name above all names, Jesus Christ. Now, this Logos that was in him, which was the Spirit of God, the anointing, through the sanctifying grace of the blood, brought many sons to God, which is anointed with this same Logos. Well, if the Logos that came out of God to bring forth and birth forth the Son of God, the firstborn Son, if it was a light, then that same Logos, when it births you in a new birth, there's a light that comes in, and it's God light. All right? Because remember, God is light. Now, Brother Mark tells us the Logos was God the Father that was above Israel. And the same Logos came down to earth and dwelt in the Son, making the Logos separate from the Son, yet dwelling in the Son. Notice also he said it was the Spirit of God that was in him. And just as it anointed Jesus, it anoints other sons, as Paul says in Romans 8. Now, Brother Ram does not speak of this Logos as being some sort of mystical thing, but he calls it the Spirit of God. It is the very life of God which came into the Son, creating in him a dual being, as we shall see later in this study. Now, if Jesus Christ was a dual being, then what are you? If you got that light comes into you and lives in you, as Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I'm living, but it's not Paul that's living, it's Christ is living in me. That anointing. You see? Now, remember that the Holy Ghost, Brother Brown said from Future Home, remember the Holy Ghost descended on Jesus, which Jesus was a part of the earth. Why? The germ of God, the life of God, was designed in the womb of the woman. That's right. Which was the earth. All right. And then the life of God came in, so he was in the beginning of the creation of God. Now, continuing from question and answer on Genesis, Brother Brown says, now, no man has seen the Father at any time. No man can see God in a bodily form because God is not in body form. God is a spirit. See? All right. No man has seen the Father, but the only begotten of the Father hath declared him. 1 John. See? Now, but notice now, there's nothing. There's just space. There's no light. There's no dark. There's no nothing. It just seems nothing. But in there is a great supernatural being, God, a Jehovah God. Now, notice, then after a while, I begin to see a little sacred light begin to form like a little halo or something. You can only see it in the spiritual eye to look now. While we're looking, the whole church now, we're standing on a great big banister watching that God, what God's doing, and we'll get right down to this question here and see how he brings it in. Now, no one has seen God, Now the next thing we begin to see by eyes of the supernatural looking. Now we see a little white light forming out there. What is that? That was called by Bible readers the Logos, or the anointed, or the anointing. And as I was going to say, that part of God, part of God, begin to develop into something. So human beings could have some type of idea what it was. It was called a little light moving. That was the Word of God. Now, God gave Himself birth to this Son, which was before there was even an Adam in the air to make it Adam. See, Jesus said, glorify me, Father, with the glory which we had before the foundations of the world. See, way back yonder. Now, before we go any further, let me just say that most people read this wrong. They are reading what Brother Branham is saying here, but with a pre-filter that reads, God gave birth to Himself. God did not give birth to Himself. That's not even what He said. We should ask. Okay. He said, Brother Branham, what did he say? He said, God gave Himself birth to a son. Not God gave birth to Himself. Two different things altogether. Alright? God gave Himself birth to a son. And we should ask, what did God give to Himself? And the answer is birth to the son. That is, see, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God gave His only begotten Son. That is totally different than giving birth to Himself. To read it as God giving birth to giving Himself birth does not even make sense, seeing He's already existed. But to give Himself a Son by birthing that Son into existence is altogether different. But most of the brothers in this message, they read that wrong. They say God gave birth to Himself. God never gave birth to Himself. God gave Himself. God gave birth to a son. Alright? Now, God gave Himself birth to a son. Now, there becomes two involved. One who is God, and one who is not God. One who is the Son of God. Again, I want to notice what Brother Brown points out here. He says, I notice that it was a part of God which came forth in this birth process and brought forth a son. Again, I want you to notice that Brother Brown points out to us that it was a part of God which came forth in this birth process. Okay, a part of God, a part of God. I asked Ella, I said, what Ella, you know, in Acts 2.38, it says, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I said, what does it mean when the Holy Ghost comes in? She said, well, it means a part of God comes in to live in me. I said, that's exactly right. I see, that's exactly what the prophet said. All right. Now, 1 John 5.26. For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself. The Apostle John says in 1 John 5 and 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son, or echoes the Son, echoes life. And he that echoes not the Son, echoes not life. Now that's John 14:12 again. If you echo Christ, it shows you got the same life. All right. Now, Brother Brown continues in question and answer on Genesis, paragraph 32, he goes on to say, now, in John 1, he said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. God unfolding Himself down to a human being. Now, watch how He did it. Now, back there, then, when this little halo comes, now, we can't see nothing yet, but just by the eyes of the supernatural, we see a halo standing there. Now, that's the Son of God. That's the Logos. Now, I can see Him playing around like a little child before the Father's door with all eternity, see? And now, and then in His imaginary makeup, He began to think of what things would be, and I can hear Him say, let there be light. And then, and when He did, and Adam bursted, and the Son came forth into existence. So, who brought forth the Son? That's in verse 14. That was that Logos that came forth in verse 3. Therefore, we can see that the first light in Genesis 1:3 is the Son of God. Now, Paul spoke of this light in 2 Corinthians 4 and 6, where he said, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So if that light does not come into you, then you're darkness. All right? You're children of darkness, you're not children of the light. To be children of the light means that your Father is light. All right? And you're children of the light. Okay. Now, we also find in the book of Revelation, the Son of God is the light of the world. Revelation 21:23. And the city had no light, had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And in the book of Peter, he is called the day star. 2 Peter 1:19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, for as unto a light that shineth in darkness, unto the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. So the day star arising in your heart is that part of Christ coming into you, giving you new birth. All right? But the day star, remember, that's Jesus himself. That's the firstborn son, the Logos that came out of God. Again, all these scriptures, all this backfill, all this background information is to get you to one place. And that's, in the very end of this sermon, I want you to understand one thing. If you have the Holy Ghost, remember, Brother Branham said, he quotes Zechariah, God says, go out and put a seal upon those that have the mark of God. I want you to seal them that sign crying for the abomination of the city. And then when the destruction angel comes with the plagues, he won't touch any of them. Why? It's light. It's light. I'm going to prove this to you now. It was the same bright morning star that appeared in this hour, for he is the Alpha and Omega. And in Brother Brandt called the pillar of fire the morning star. In his sermon, Approach to God, he said, we were singing that when the morning star, the angel of the Lord, made his first appearance over where I was standing in public for the first time in my life at the foot of Spring Street in the Ohio River in June 33 as a young Baptist minister there baptizing. So Brother Brandt called that pillar of fire that came down, he called it the morning star. All right, that's the same thing God called in that first light, he says, and he says, and God called it day. The day star, the morning star. Now, in fact, Jesus spoke of the light, of being this light in John 8:12. It says, then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So if you're following him, you will have the light of life. All right. Now, I want you to hold on to this thought, because notice the first life that was birthed was the Son of God as a light. So when we see light, we must think of life. And Jesus said that he was the light of life. Notice he says, but you'll have the light of life. For those of you who think that maybe I'm taking this out of context or something, from the door to the heart, Brother Branham said, after this death, burial, resurrection, Saul of Tarsus on his road to Damascus was stricken down by a light that put his eyes up. For a season he was blind. That same light was Jesus Christ, which is the light of the world. All right? You notice Brother Branham said, Brother Branham was talking about the same pillar of fire. Again, we see Paul speaking in 2 Timothy 1:9, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He says, remember, Paul also says in Ephesians, I think it's 3:9, anyway, he says, what makes manifest is light. All right? What brings the manifestation is light. So the seed may be there, but until the light strikes the seed, it's not going to manifest. Okay? For man that can turn on the light, Brother Branham said, all life. So life is only by the Word of God made manifest. Life comes only by the Word of God made manifest. As long as it's in just in the book like this, it can still be questioned. But when it's made manifest, when you see the product of what it spoke of being manifested, then that is light on the Word. See? The Word was so, and then when it comes to pass, that is life in light. Light bringing life. Light brings life. Now remember, we spent a whole series going back to October last year, on the difference between, as Brother Brown said, they can read what's in here. But he said, we can see it manifest. Well, you're seeing it manifest is light, the Holy Ghost in you, on this. Light, like when he said, Paul says, we look in the mirror of the Word, and we see what? We see Christ. We don't see ourselves, even though it's a mirror. We see Christ. Okay? Now, light. Because it can't be, there's no light there. But as soon as light strikes it, then it'll bring forth life if it's a germinative seed. That's the same thing it is in the Word. See? The Word is God, and when the light strikes it, it brings the Word to life again. Every age has always been that. We also see in John 1:1 that God is the Word, and out of God came also the Word, which was a carrier of life, and this life was also the first life. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word is God. The same was in the beginning with God, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. For in him was life, and the life was what? The light. So that garment of God is a reflection of that life. It shows life. Now, before this scene takes place, we find that God dwelt alone. The scripture tells us here that in the beginning God existed alone, and we find that the scripture refers to him as Elohim, the self-existent one. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God, in the beginning Elohim, in the beginning the self-existent one. God was alone, and in him was life. And as he began to bring forth this life, it went forth first into a son, which was his offspring. And the word offspring means to spring off from. So we see God, the great fountain of life, began to bring forth his great plan to fulfill himself. And he began this fulfillment by bringing forth his firstborn son, as we find in John 5:26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself. Therefore, we can see that what David meant when he described God as the great fountain of life in Psalm 36:9, for with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light shall we see light. Now, from his sermon, a paradox. Brother Brown said, Jesus did the works of his Father because the Father was in him. That's why the works was done, because that the Father was in the Son. Do you believe that? That in him was the incarnate God. Do you believe that? That God the Father, which is the Father of Jesus Christ, the great Spirit dwelling in the fullness of his power in Jesus Christ, which was a tabernacle of God, made flesh and dwelt on earth, representing his word. Remember, before Jesus was baptized with the Holy Ghost, he didn't do anything. He was an obedient son, that's about it. From Paradox, he says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the living God, born of a virgin, conceived God in a womb, a tabernacle in which God could dwell in. I believe that in Christ, he is the incarnate God. He is God made flesh. When God the Father came into Jesus Christ, he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In him dwells all the fullness. God the Father spoke the words. Jesus said, it's not me that speaketh, but my Father that dwelleth in me. He does the speaking. Therefore, upon that basis, him being made flesh so he could die, God paying the penalty for the human race to redeem and bring up and come, bring together the things that his own creation had lost in the fall, he redeemed it back with his own life. Now, notice, both David and John saw two main characteristics in God. Number one, they both saw this great fountain of life. Hebrews chapter 7, Brother Graham, or chapter 5, I think it is. Anyway, this great fountain, it's paragraph 15. This great fountain of spirit, which had no beginning or no end, this great spirit began to form in the creation, and the Logos that went out from him, it was the Son of God. It was the only visible form that the spirit had. So notice, out of this great fountain of life come forth a son. All right, Logos, life. It was a theophany, which means a body. Body was like a man. And the second thing that John and David saw both was not only was God a fountain of life, but God was light. All right. This life was represented as a great light, and when we see the first expression of this fountain of life come forth, it is when God begins to speak. And what do we see first? Light is spoken. And what does the light bring forth? It brings forth the life that was in it, the Father giving birth to his Son. We've read those quotes already. Now, we must not confuse God with his Son. John tells us that God is the Word. Some men would tell you that Jesus, the Son of God, is the Word, but that is not entirely accurate. God is the Word, God is the Logos, and out of this great fountain of Logos, or Word, came forth a little Logos, or a Word expressed, and that was the Son. So God is the Word, Jesus was the expression of that Word. Now, Brother Graham called him Little Jehovah. In Smyrnian Church Age, he said, now, if there's only one form of eternal life, and you get it, and we're seeking it, seeking for it through Jesus Christ, that's God's life, then when that blood cell was broke on the Son of God, of that little Jehovah that was bottled up on the inside of this man called Jesus, this is why Brother Graham taught us that there is a difference between God the Father and his Son, because the Son had a beginning, because all sons have beginnings. Now, from his message, Attitude, Who is God, Brother Graham says, and were taught in the beginning that the Logos, or the Son of God, went out of God. Now, I do not believe in eternal sonship. That's even radical to even mention such a thing, eternal sonship. How could he have eternal sonship? He had to have a beginning. So he was first, so he first was God, Jehovah, and out of him, let's just picture now a little drama so you can get it. Let's see, coming out of space where there's nothing, let's just make it a little white light like a mystic halo, like a halo. And that was the Logos that went out of God. And in the beginning, that was the Son of God that came out of the bosom of the Father. That was what was in the beginning, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was God, and then out of God came the Logos, a part of God that went out of God. So it's like today, you know, they try to clone things. They take a part of your DNA and then they clone you. All right, or they clone a lamb or something like that they've done. They're trying to act like they're God. Okay. Now, Brother Brown told us it was only a part of God that went out of God. And we know, as with any child born, it is a part of the Father in him. Now, Brother Brown said from the Methodist Gotel, he said, he is a part of God if he's an offspring of God. So, when that Holy Ghost comes in, that little light like the size of a button, Brother Brown said the button on my shirt, said a little white light like the size of a button comes in. He said, when you add word upon word, it begins to grow. All right. Now, Hebrews, the Amplified Version Hebrews 1, verse 1 to 5, in many separate revelations, each of which set forth a portion of the truth, and in different ways God spoke of old to our fathers in and by the prophets, but in the last of these days, he has spoken to us in the person of his Son, whom he appointed heir of all and lawful owner of all things, also by and through whom he created the worlds and the reaches of space and the ages of time, that is, he made, produced, built, operated, and arranged them in order. He is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, notice the light being, and out of the outraying of the divine, that's that Logos, and he is a perfect imprint and very image of God's nature, upholding, maintaining, guiding, and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. When he had, by offering himself, accomplished our cleansing of sins and riddance of guilt, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, taking a place and rank by which he himself became as much superior to the angels as the glorious name which he had inherited is different from and more excellent than theirs. For which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. So you see this outraying of God, the outraying, you know, showing God is light, and out of him came forth that light. Now, from belief from the heart, Brother Brown said, Jesus was a witness of God. He became so full of God till him and God was one. God dwelt in Christ, reconciled the world to himself, the very expression. A man's work declares his character. Christ was God's work, and Christ declared God's character. His feeling for the sick, his longing for saving of souls, till even he gave his own life, God's work, God's character was declared in Christ. Therefore, we see that he was the very expression of God. Therefore, and we're getting ready to close it, but therefore, this first light that God brought forth was the Logos, which was a part of God coming into an expression which God called his Son. And then through this expression or expressed word or manifested word, God brought forth all creation. Now Romans 11:36 tells us, for of him and through him and to him are all things, and to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. But remember, it was not the Son creating, but God was in the Son doing the work. Jesus, as his Son said, John 5:19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Also Ephesians 3:9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things. See, God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So Jesus was the instrumentality in which God used. All right? Colossians 1:15, who is the image of the invisible God, it's the image of an invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him we were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now, how was it that God indwelt his Son? The scripture tells us it was a mystery how God dwelt in his Son, 1 Timothy, and without controversy, great is the mystery of God, God-likeness, for God was manifested in the flesh, just by the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Now, the only way God could make himself known was to live in his Son, Christ Jesus, to suffer in death and temptation for all human race. And he had all the qualities of the Father was in him. In 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. It didn't say God was Christ, but God was in Christ, okay? So all the great qualities of the Father was in Christ Jesus, the Son, when he was here on earth. All the Father was, he was. All that the Father was, he was, okay? And so that makes us go back to Brother Brown's statement, all that he ever was, I am. All right? I'd like to be identified with him. Then the apostles, when they come back, they were made fun of and called everything else. They thought it was a great honor to bear the reproach of his name. I'm happy today to be one of them, being identified with the Word. And remember, identified means to become the same. All right, identified with him, being baptized into him, we become identified in his likeness, identified with his word, which is him. If I am in Christ, I am his word, for he is the word, and what he is, I am. Amen. Yes, you get it? All right. So, now remember, God is the fountain of life, and God is light. So if we are sons, we are light, we are children of light. Is that correct? You all receive that? Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 5. You are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Ephesians 5 and 8. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. All right. When do you become children of light? When that light came into you, which was God's Spirit, His life. All right. John 12:36. While you have light, believe in the light that you may be the children of the light. These things spake Jesus and departed and hid himself from them. Now, how is it that we are the children of the light? Well, Brother Brown taught us that when we receive the Holy Ghost, it comes in like a small light about the size of a button. And then he add, and he said, and when you add word upon word upon word, that light begins to grow. Now, this is very important. I want you to understand this. Because we're dealing in a time of corona. We're dealing in a time when Brother Brown said that they're breeding now these germ warfare. But one day it's going to be released on the world. You've got to have that protection. Now, this is what I'm coming to now here. From a certain sound, remember Brother Brown said, it's forbidden to touch. Why? Because what? Light cleanses. Light cleanses. The UV rays from the sun, it takes, I don't know how many minutes it takes, but it takes 30 seconds or 2 minutes or 5 minutes, whatever it is. I think they said bleach takes 5 minutes, and they said light takes 30 seconds to cleanse. Light is the best cleansing agent there is. And if you walk in the light, as he in the light, it cleanses. You understand? Now, how do you get then that light to grow in you from just the size of a little button until it takes over every fiber of your body? That's what we want to get to. Because if that light is in every fiber of your body, you don't have to worry about anything. You'd be bitten like a snake, like Paul was. Poisonous snake. Shake it off. You see? Brother Adam says from a certain sound, as I illustrated, like a button, when a man is saved, that much of him is God. That's the little light that comes in to make him quit doing what's wrong. Now, if you can take all the malice and envy and strife, if you can take all the malice and envy and strife, and unbelief out, that little button like of the power of the light and power of God will keep growing and growing and growing and growing, crowding out all unbelief. And you don't do it by exhortation or bodily exercise. You do it by a sanctified, consecrated life that the Holy Spirit moves through. From why? The message why? Now you people that wanted to renew the joy of your salvation, and to you that somewhere you've lost joy, think back what you did. Don't look at what somebody else did. It's what you did that you don't have joy. Did you neglect prayer meeting? Did you neglect reading the Bible? Did you neglect praying at your home, asking the blessing at the table? Don't never do that. Oh my, that's so unbecoming to Christians. No matter where you are, bow your head and pray. Don't be ashamed of him. Pray anywhere, see? And if ever where you left that joy, that whatever weeded it out, what little roots of bitterness come in, remember, when a man is saved, this much, like this little button here, becomes eternal life in your heart. That's God. As you are able to push out all the roots of bitterness, then God begins to spread in you. Get rid of bitterness if you want that light to take over your body and heal your body. Then you become sons of God. A man was made to be a God, to be a God. Do you know that? He's in the image of God. He's the son of God. He's like him. He was given a domain, Genesis 1:26, dominion over the whole earth. That's right. He was in the image of God. What happened? Because he's disbelieved God's word, it sent him back, right back out to shift for himself. Now God's trying to bring him back. And when you have faith and accept him, my brother, just let that little light begin to grow up, taking all the roots of doubt and bitterness and yielding yourself to the Spirit. Then you begin to become a son or daughter of God. Begin to grow in the grace of God. The Holy Spirit begins to build his kingdom within you. What is preventing your entire being from reflecting the radiance and the glory of God? It's your bitterness. It's your self-centeredness, where I want it this way, and if you don't like it, then blah, 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 and I'm going to make life miserable for you. Die to yourself, and you'll see the glory of God. From the Messiah, Brother Ram says, for now, for instance, when a man gets saved, he's just about like the light that comes into him is about like this little white button on my shirt. That's when God comes into the inner part of the man. In the inner part of the man, a man is made up in the system of the tabernacle, in the outer courts, then the holy place, and the holiest of holies. That's your kind of glory on the inside, the veil. Alright? So notice, when you're born again, you've got that little germ of God, that light of God that comes in. Where? To your soul. Where's your soul? It's in the compartment in the heart. A little place that had no blood cells or nothing else, Brother Ann told us. Science proved it. It's in the heart. But what if you never sanctify yourself and live your life for Christ? It just stays there. You're still a son, but you're not an adoptable son. You're still a son. You still be on the other side. But you might have to go through tribulation on this side.
That's right.
And when we live in the presence, in His presence, it makes us act different. Look different. Talk different. Be different because we are walking in light. Children of light. You live in it. You bathe yourself in it. You enjoy its life-giving flows. That's the reason we had come to find Him. Come to Him to find it. You don't find it by some creed. Your creed. I'm not condemning your creed. But if you got a creed and got Christ too, well, amen. See? But if you just got your creed without Christ, you're in a miserable shape. That's right. Don't try to get in that like that because it won't give light. You walk along, stumble all your life, never able to understand why people cry, why they shout, why they clap their hands, they speak in tongues, divine healing, the power of God. You'll never know it by some artificial light. You'll have to come into the real light, the light of Jesus Christ, who lights every man that cometh. Come into that light. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can cometh to the Father except by me. Now, from his sermon, his wonders to perform. Oh, if Christ is presented in the right way, the world will respect it, if there is any respect in them. Certainly it is. It is brought in the right way of divine light. That's that night when we left the church, he had a lantern in his hand. He said, I'd give anything, parson, if I could only believe that God would forgive me of my sin. He said, I've killed two or three men, and I know that I'm a guilty sinner. But when I've seen them things happening in that little church, you know, the supernatural, he said, I'm aware that there is a true and living God. I said, he'll forgive you, and he wants to forgive you. And the very hunger in your heart means that he's working on your soul. He said, well, if I could only feel it, I said, you'll feel it. He said, when I feel it, I'll believe it. I said, believe it, and then you'll feel it. He said, I wish I knew how to do it. I said, where do you live at? He said, across the mountain, about 2 miles. Well, I said, how do you get there? Well, I said, I go up over the ridge and through the pass. I said, it's very dark. He said, but I got a lantern. And I said, you can't see your house with your lantern. He said, no, that's right. Said, then how do you know where you're going to get there? I said, and he said, just take the lantern in your hand, and you're standing in the light, and you walk in the right direction. Every step you make, the light will light up the road. And I said, that's the way to find Christ. Stand in his light. See if you walk in the light. Stand in his blessing. Stand in his power. And if you're sick, how are you going to get well? I don't know, but he promised to do it. And the Holy Spirit is a witness of his light and his resurrection. Just walk in the light and go the right direction towards Calvary. It'll lead you to the healing and to your blessing. Just take the light as you go. All right. From only one true living church, he said, how do you do, lady? I'm getting to a place here. I want you to see this. He said, now I suppose that we're strangers. I don't believe that I ever seen you in my life, but we're strangers of life, and you come to me for help. And I perceive immediately that you're a Christian, a believer, because the Holy Spirit will not embrace sin. See, that's why I don't understand these people who want to go out and commit adultery, fornication, everything else, pull deals on brothers and or on anybody, and then claim to be Christian. Because he said, God, the Holy Spirit won't embrace it. He won't come into that. He said, you've noticed that in the meeting. If you've been here before, when you sit at the platform or out in the audience, I'll call it right out, because he can't tolerate sin. God can't. He's holy, and he can't tolerate sin. And I ask you to believe me as his servant, and you do. Now, you're aware that something is going on, aren't you? You know it just now when I begin to speak to you. Now, something's happening just then, didn't it? Now, that's nothing to hurt you now. That's to heal you. Did you see the picture of it back there last evening? That's it. To our fire. That's it. You'll see what it is, the looks of it. When the best research in America, it's hanging in the Religious Hall of Art, a supernatural being. Now, that audience might know that since we've been talking, a lovely, sweet kind of feeling come over you. Is that right? If it is, raise your hand. Okay. Now, that's what it is. That's the angel of the Lord contacting. There's something wrong with you. And I am his servant. Just as that wire in that light is the servant to the light, it isn't the wire. It's the electricity going through it that makes the light. The wire cannot make no light. Neither can I know what's wrong with you or have any light to you. It's his spirit that you now feel that brings the light. Now remember, every time that Brother Bram would have that healing service, he'd say, now I see the light over you, brother. And God bless you, brother, you've received your healing. And now that light's moving, he's moving. Now everybody be real reverent. Now that light went over the sister over here. He said, now sister, he said, stand up and receive your healing. All right, you're healed. And so, you see, what was doing the healing? The light. Right? The light. And it cleanses us from all sin. If you walk in what? The light. As he is what? In the light. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. It cleanses. Light cleanses. Put something that you know, like you wear gloves into a store. When you go out, you take them off. Before you touch your wheels, you just put them upside down where it was facing the store. Put them in the sunlight on your dash. By the time you're home, those things have been cleansed by UV. And now if UV can do that, what about the Holy Ghost that's in you? You understand? So see that every time the light went from one person to another, there was healing that took place. 1 John 1:7, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, it not only brings you into fellowship with him and one another, but it cleanses you from all sin. And the sickness and disease is a result of sin. It was brought to the earth through the disobedience of one, and by the obedience of one brought healing. But you've got to walk in that light if you want to be cleansed, because when the blood cleanses, there is a dual atonement. You are cleansed of your unbelief and the illness leaves you. How many of you are familiar with light for healing in the scientific realm? Red light reduces inflammation and quickens the time for your body to heal from a wound. I have a brother gave me years ago, a red LED unit that was developed by NASA. And if you have an open wound or something, you just, you know, a few minutes every day in front of this red light, and it speeds up something like 3 to 4 times as fast the healing process, the growing back. Well, according to the European Commission Cordis, which research has been studying the effects of light in healing, they said blue light is known for its antimicrobial, anti-proliferation, and anti-inflammatory effects without damaging the tissue as compared to hazardous UV light, as well as its low penetration depth. Therefore, in the first stage of wound healing process, blue light irradiation is applied, inhibiting the formation of bacteria colonies on the one hand, and preventing an overshooting epitomization by growing keratinocytes, leading to the premature wound closure. In other words, it doesn't bring the closure that fast together. You use blue light first, because if you use red light first, it may close the thing up too soon. and you haven't cleansed the wound yet. So you use the blue light to cleanse the wound. Once the wound has been cleansed, then you use, he says, then for later wound healing stages after the wound is disinfected, it was planned to apply red light to stimulate an accelerated cell growth of inactivated cells be located in deeper skin layers like fibroblasts and stem cells. So it's a blue light cleanses and reduces the inflammation, and then the red light helps to stimulate the growth. Now, President Trump this week interviewed a scientist, MD, who said that they have tested different light therapy against COVID-19 with success. They suggested people get plenty of sunlight because sunlight kills the germs in minutes, in fact, in seconds, actually. But when the president suggested that they try to develop a way to get light inside a person's skin to heal the organs and blood, the physician said, well, they're already working on it. But instead of having an open mind, the president was mocked and ridiculed by the press all week long for suggesting it. That just shows these people have a closed mind. When he talked about using, what is MMS? It's chlorine dioxide. when he talked to the same scientist, he said, now, what about other cleansing things? We use things to cleanse the water, like chlorine dioxide. Well, that's MMS. All right? And so what do? They say, oh, well, that's chlorine, that's bleach. Oh, the president's trying to tell people to drink bleach. No, chlorine dioxide. One molecule of salt and two molecules of oxygen. And when it's done properly, I know the brother that developed the process, and he used it when the H1N1 was rampant in Mexico, and he was cleaning out entire hospitals. He went over to Nigeria, cleaned out two hospitals, and then I met him personally. We sat and we talked for hours in Malawi. All right? And so this fella, he developed it to the place where he developed different protocols, all right? Two drops for this, four drops for this, whatever. And you repeat daily, all right? And I even gave it to Brother Abel down in Argentina. His mother was dying of cancer. They gave her like 3 weeks to live. Well, she lived something like years later. I mean, I told her, I said, take two drops to begin with. Daily, and then the next day for 3 days, take two drops, and then double it if your body can stand it. Well, within days, she was down scrubbing her floors and everything else. She was healed. I mean, God had done a really wonderful job with her because what it happens is when you put the two drops in, you put six drops of acetic acid, basically. Or something to cause it to break up those cells, and we use lemon juice, and basically then you put, fill 8 ounces of water and you drink it, and what it does, it goes in and it oxidizes the body, it brings oxygen to the organs that are in disrepair, and it helps to repair them. All right. Well, so anyway, the media says, oh, he's a kook. You know, anything that's new to them is a kook. Well, let me just tell you something. If they had only knew that we already have light inside of us by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but if you want the light to spread out beyond your soul, throughout your entire body, you've got to give up your bitterness and your doubts. As Brother Ram said, just let that little light begin to grow out, taking all the roots of doubt and bitterness, yielding yourself to the Spirit, then you begin to become a son or daughter of God. Begin to grow in the grace of God. Now, if you've got the Holy Ghost, you've got everything you need in you to be able to walk through the shadow of death and fear no evil. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, though 1,000 die at my right hand and 10,000 at my left hand, it'll not come nigh me. Why? I've got the light. I've got the light. Jesus said in Matthew 6:22, the light of the eye is... If the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. So what does it mean, if thine eye be single? Because I basically want my whole body to be full of light. How many want your body to be full of light? You know why? Because you can go through any disease. It'll be killed by the light. Well, So what does it mean, if thine eye be single? He means if your entire focus is on Christ the Word, you are single focused. Then the whole body shall be full of light. And that is exactly what Brother Branham was telling us in the quote I just read you. You all know my study on the sun-colored lights of the rainbow. We'll go back and review it. And you'll see how the different color lights of the rainbow emit via different frequencies. And I believe like a frequency generator, light can heal. Because every time a person was healed in William Branham's campaign, he would say, the light went over to this person, they're healed. And it went over to this person, and they're healed. And on and on. So if you're afraid of this COVID virus, COVID-19, get the light of the Holy Ghost in you and allow it to build up your body to have to die to yourself to do that. And let that light of His glorious presence take over your mortal vessel. In other words, let your eye, let your focus be one, single. Not on this over here and this over here and I've got my droplets in this. And let your light, let your eye be so full of Him that you take Him to your job. You take Him to the store. You take Him everywhere you go. That's powerful. Gracious Father, the world now is beginning to examine how light heals. The healing properties of light. We know that in you, the great fountain of life, you had the light. And that light, we know, cleanses us from all sin. We know that you are the great healer. What does a healing? It's your light. So Father, we just pray that we would get that light. We know we've got it by the new birth, but we pray that you would help us to root out all bitterness, all malice, all evil thoughts toward one another or toward anyone. Help us be so single focused that our body emanates light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you and keep you, and may the Lord make His face shine upon you. Remember, shine. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord.